Bob Haney, 1057thefan.com. Joining us here is Dave Ginsberg from the Associated Press. And Dave, we have a lot to talk about, no doubt about it. But we'll start off with sad news over the weekend. The great number four, Earl Weaver, passed away. You're a Baltimore guy. You've certainly covered the Orioles for many, many years. When you talk about colorful characters that have come through this city, at least, where does Earl Weaver rate?
How could you not be number one? Earl Weaver is not only that, colorful, a winner, a Hall of Fame guy, and, you know, he made a reputation for the way he jotted umpires and even his own players, his contentious relationship with Jim Palmer. But, you know, most of all, Bob, the guy was a winner, and that's what really made him beloved here. You know, there have been many characters that have passed through town, but not one as feisty as Earl Weaver, and not one who won as consistently as Earl Weaver.
And you mentioned that, and we've had Don Shula here. We have had some other great coaches, managers, in all various sports. But can anyone ever, and I know Harbaugh's off to a great start, John Harbaugh, with the Ravens, but can anyone ever duplicate what Earl Weaver succeeded with as far as being manager of the Orioles?
Probably not. And, you know, you talk about what Buck Showalter's done thus far.
Yeah.
But, you know, when talking to Brian Roberts this weekend at FanFest, he said, you know, I love Buck, but when you think of the Baltimore Orioles as manager, Earl Weaver's the first guy and perhaps the only guy that pops into mind. And, yeah, there have been some great coaches with the Ravens, but I just think that Earl Weaver, beloved, and, you know, he kept coming back here, and I think that's what fans love, too. He didn't just do his thing here and retire to Miami, but we saw a lot of him last year, and a lot of people were grateful that we could see a lot of him last year at the Legends statues dedication, and, you know, it was always great to see him back here, and the love that he received and gave during that last summer was something to remember, something I'll always remember.
Dave, he is a Hall of Famer, Earl Weaver, and rightfully so, but do you think that he is rightfully recognized as one of the great managers in the history of baseball?
You know, Bob, I really do. You know, one of the greats, yes. You know, there are many that you could put there. I mean, I think Casey Stengel and, you know, McGraw will always be thought of as the greatest, but believe me, the outpouring of emotion from all sects of society when Earl Weaver passed away on late Friday, early Saturday was really unrivaled by really anyone I've covered. And I think that he is respected as one of the greats. And, you know, what he did with the Orioles will be remembered by baseball fans, I think, for the rest of their lives.
Dave, any one particular Earl Weaver story that you have, either as a fan or covering him, that stands out more than any other?
You know what, Bob? Yes. The one that really stands out to me was, and it's not one, I mean, everyone talks about his arguments with him, but one time, one game, they were playing Cleveland, and the Orioles had lost the game. And Earl Weaver came out, argued about a baseball rule that maybe no one knew about. The game continued on, and the Orioles ended up winning that game. And back then, I'm going to be honest with you, I used to put a little money on games. And
right.
I turned off the game thinking the Orioles had lost, and indeed they ended up winning thanks to Earl Weaver, and I will be forever indebted for him and his knowledge of the game and how it was displayed in that particular instance in Cleveland.
Dave Ginsberg, Associated Press. He's the man here in the Charm City. For sure, Bob Haney, 1057thefan.com. Talking about a busy weekend in Baltimore sports and what has been a glorious 2012 calendar year, now obviously carrying over to 2013. And Dave, before we get to the Ravens, you mentioned FanFest, 17,000 plus, I believe, this past weekend at the Convention Center. Are people starting to, you know, feel that Oriole magic once again?
Well, yes, they are, and it's evidenced by that crowd. It was more than twice what they had the year before, and I just think Orioles fans have been starving for a winner, and all the players, almost to a man, just said, all we had to do was show them. Give them something to spend their hard-earned money on. Go to a baseball game, and instead of just seeing baseball, watch the home team win. And I think there's a really general enthusiasm that I've not experienced since covering the team. Well, I've been covering them since 90, and you know, there was a big buzz around 96 and 97, but, you know, I think the way the crowd reacted at that Yankees playoff series last year will carry on, and I think that people love seeing this team win, and, you know, maybe it's a football town still because the Ravens are so successful, but now the Orioles have given Baltimore fans something else to care about, and I do believe they care a lot about the Baltimore Orioles.
I agree with you 100%, being a Baltimore guy myself. But, Dave, the younger fans for the Orioles get their first taste of winning, some cases ever. But Ravens fans are very accustomed to winning. But here they are getting to the Super Bowl for the first time in 12 years. If I would have said to you, after the Monday after the Denver loss, at home, M&T Bank Stadium, don't sweat it, the Ravens going to make it to the Super Bowl, you would have said what to me?
You are insane, Robert. I would have had to say that. And you know what? I might have even said that same thing before they went to Denver, because they played well against the Colts, but they really hadn't given me any reason to believe that they could beat Denver and New England on the road in successive weeks to get to the Super Bowl. It's just a surprising, uplifting accomplishment by the Ravens and you know, I think the word unexpected has to be thrown in there as well. I just never saw that coming, particularly, you know, 9-2 start. Yeah, I was thinking about it, but then they lose 3 out of 4 and then sort of, you know, stagger into the postseason. And what they've done these past 2 weeks is just nothing short of amazing to me.
The Jim Caldwell factor has been what here in the last month?
I wouldn't say a major, I would say a factor and a positive. I mean, there's no question that I think that the Ravens have improved offensively. You know, he didn't overhaul everything, but I think that he's come in with a positive game plan, and I think that Joe Flacco's reacted positively to him taking over as offensive coordinator. I think he unleashed the offense just a little bit more. I mean, you're always going to want to establish the run with Ray Rice, but I think that Jim Caldwell made everyone realize that they don't have to establish the run with Ray Rice to win. And, you know, he'll get his carries, but I think that if you give him some time in the pocket, that Joe Flacco can win games for you, and that's been proven. I think Jim Caldwell believed that and then put in a game plan that allowed that to happen.
Now, we talk about Jim Caldwell having the confidence in Flacco. Cam Cameron, previous offensive coordinator, liked to have Joe Flacco throw the ball quite often. What about the play of the offensive line? And you talk about keeping Joe clean there to do his thing. I mean, who gets responsibility for making the tweaks that were necessary on the O-line to lead to this success?
Good question. I think it's John Harbaugh, in accordance with Caldwell and the rest of the offensive staff. I think that they finally realized, at least I've always thought, that Michael Orr was a much better right tackle than a left tackle. So they move him over. Bryant McKinney finally showed some resolve, finally got in shape, and with adding those two tackles on the outside has really been a positive. And, you know, where that switch originated, I think it was a combination of Harbaugh talking to the staff and McKinney finally getting his act together and deciding he wanted to make a contribution to this team. And, you know, ever since that's happened, I think that Flacco, who I still believe has a little bit of a problem with pocket awareness, that's not been an issue because he hasn't been trapped in the pocket as often as he was beforehand.
Dave Ginsberg, Associated Press, joining us here. Bob Haney, 1057thefan.com. Talking about the Baltimore Ravens going to the Super Bowl, Super Bowl 47, taking on the San Francisco 49ers, coached by Jim Harbaugh, former Ravens quarterback. But before we get to Bro Bowl, Harbaugh, whatever you want to refer to this thing as, what about the improved play of the defense, Dave, statistically, not where they normally are throughout the course of 16 games, but since they started to get healthier? We have seen this Ravens D start to play up to normal expectations.
Exactly, Bob. The return of Ray Lewis, he's not the Ray Lewis of old, but he's still an anchor in the middle of that defense, certainly has helped. Bernard Pollard missed a few games. You know, Suggs is getting healthier. And I'm stunned at how well the defense has performed of late, given how it was earlier. They couldn't stop the run. Kerry Williams has gotten much better at the cornerback position, and it just, it's been a 180-degree turnaround because, you know, let's face it, what they did against New England, one touchdown given up against the best offense in the league. They pretty much stymied Peyton Manning. Two of their four touchdowns were on two of their five touchdowns, excuse me, were on kick returns. So it's, I think you get healthy, you get Ray Lewis inspiring them in the middle, and it's really an improved unit. You're right, not ranked where they usually are, but in terms of points allowed, they've done a really good job. And I think that if they can control Colin Kaepernick, then they're going to win that game.
Dave, let's talk about, you covered the 2000 team that won the Super Bowl. This year's team, obviously, a win away from duplicating that feat. Is it fair to judge either season as far as satisfaction levels or expectations going into either season?
Well, I think they're comparable in that no one really picked the Ravens to go that far. But in 2000, the defense was impeccable. And, you know, you could win as long as you didn't turn it over. People might recall that Tony Banks was the starting quarterback. Too many turnovers. They couldn't score points. So they go to Trent Dilfer, and all of a sudden, that's a decent team, which won by not turning the ball over. Now I think the offense and defense are almost comparable. Still a surprise because, you know, let's face it, the Ravens came in as a fourth seed. But I think in both cases, certainly when the Ravens won the first one, it came as somewhat of a surprise. And this one would be more or less shocking around the NFL because no one saw the Ravens doing this. When the playoffs started, they were 30-1 to get to win the Super Bowl. Those odds have obviously significantly decreased. And I just think that it's a nice surprise, certainly for us in Baltimore, but around the rest of the league, no one saw it coming.
Dave Ginsberg, Associated Press, here with Bob Haney, 1057thefan.com. Dave, before we let you roll, with Orioles having the season they did, and expectations are rather high for 2013, Ravens went away from a Super Bowl championship. What about Maryland basketball? Mark Turgeon's crew bridging the gap between now and the start of Major League Baseball.
Well, you know what? I've enjoyed seeing this team. They still have an issue putting the ball in the basket. It's sort of been, it's sort of been like watching Georgetown basketball. Good defense, low-scoring games, not a lot of offense from Maryland. But you know what? In 2 years, Mark Turgeon's taken a team. If you can recall last year, Bob, they were starting the season with a bunch of walk-ons. You weren't sure whether they could beat the Cornells of the world. Now they dominate those teams. They had they matched the longest winning streak in school history. And, you know, granted, they've had some rough patches in the ACC, but I certainly see some promise ahead. I honestly don't know if they can reach the tournament. They have to improve in ACC play, which is all they've got left. But certainly, I've seen a lot of hope. And, you know, the gap between Gary Williams and now Mark Turgeon is not as significant as it was last year. And I, as a Maryland alum and as a guy that's covered that team forever, really see a lot of hope in the future. And maybe if this young team gets it together, maybe even this season, if they made the tournament major accomplishment, I think it would really generate a lot of enthusiasm around here. But next season, another recruiting class coming in, some of these freshmen getting better, could be a very good program, no question about it.
Dave Ginsberg, Associated Press, here on 1057thefan.com with Bob Haney. Dave, as always, it's good to catch up to you. Spring training will be here before you know it, but first things first, Ravens taking on the 49ers in the Super Bowl. Will the Lombardi Trophy return to Owings Mills?
You know what? I think Ray Rice really said it best. This is a team of destiny. And whereas I think the San Francisco 49ers, a very good team, a deserved 4-5 point favorite, I just think the Ravens have got it going right now, and I'm going to go with yes. And it's not just a hometown bias type of thing. I think I think a lot of people might feel the same way. If you can beat Denver and New England on successive weekends, then you can knock off the 49ers.
Dave Ginsberg, AP, Dave, we appreciate it. Have fun, enjoy the Super Bowl, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thanks a lot, Bob. My pleasure.
All right, Dave.